Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's open lines as we hear your real ghost stories in your own voices. 855-853-4802. The phone number to call into our show 24/7 to share your real ghost stories.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number. Of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com if you like the show. We stay on the air with your support, so check out ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. When you do that, you get our bonus episodes of the show, our advanced episodes of the show. You get the archive, all of it being commercial free. All in all, thousands of episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online that you can binge away on. It is quite literally the world's largest... Oh, my mic just fell. The world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. So please do... check that out and help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the show. Hi, what's going on?
They're building my treehouse and it's almost done.
It is almost done. You're excited about that. The Treehouse of Terror.
Not the Treehouse of Terror, Dad.
What is it?
The Treehouse of Witches.
The Treehouse of Witches. Well, last show when we were talking about your treehouse, you were calling it the Treehouse of Terror.
I didn't want it to be the Treehouse of Terror.
Okay, so now it's Treehouse of Witches?
Yes.
Okay, are you becoming a witch?
No.
Okay. Are you planning on having witches visit at some point?
No.
Okay. It's just there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the term healthy salad, but it's like topped with croutons and bacon and all sorts of horrible things, but it's the healthy is just an implied.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm glad we've established that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Open lines today. That's where we're just going to take your phone calls and comment on them, and you're welcome to call 24/7 at 855-853-4802. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Austin. Been a huge fan for a while now. I have three stories, but for sake of time, I'll share two. They're both in the same house. Right now, I live in Northwest Arkansas, a town called Fort Smith, a pretty historic town. I used to live in a house that was right on the outskirts of the historic district. Not really a Victorian house, but in that region, it's a bunch of Victorian houses from the mid-1800s, and this is right on the same block, and I assume was built probably around the same time period, but based on the design, but wasn't ever able to find the records. But the first thing I experienced was in that house was one night around 9 p.m., all the lights were on. It was well lit, so it's not like I could have seen something in the shadows or whatever, and I could have imagined it. It was well lit, and I was playing guitar, and just so you understand, all the floors in this house are very slick and like hardwood. So we had a cat, and whenever this cat would get scared, it would run kind of like Scooby-Doo in place for a second before it caught traction and could take off. Well, I had my door open, and I noticed that my cat ran from the left side of my doorway to the right like something scared it down the hall. And at this time, it was only me and my mother living in this house. I was 16 at the time. So anything that happened, it would have either had to have been her or something else. But noticed the cat got scared and ran down to the right, from the left side of my doorway to the right, and that caused me to look up and put my guitar down. Well, then I saw what I thought at the time was my mother walking from the left side of the doorway to the right. And there was a little nook in between my room and the adjacent living room. To the right, there's like a little area where we put vacuum cleaners and whatever else we had to put out of the way right there. So I assumed it was my mother hiding right there trying to scare me. She'd do stuff like that. She's goofy, just like me. But so I figured, well, she doesn't notice that I noticed her, so I'll put my guitar down and sneak over there and try to scare her first. So I put my guitar down and snuck over there as quietly as I could and jumped around the corner, and there was nobody there. And this overwhelming sense of, oh, what, came over me. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I realized what I had just witnessed. And I, before I let myself completely give in to that realization, I immediately ran to her room and looked in, and sure enough, she's sound asleep snoring. And come to find out years later that I didn't know anything about that figure at first. I just thought it was a random figure that looked like an elderly lady in a nightgown. And I had a vague description of the face. Well, come to find out that the next door neighbor, who had lived there for many, many, many years, the lady I described apparently was an very similar description to a lady that lived there before and had died in the house. At least that's what my mother told me, that the next door neighbor told her from my description. I don't know how much time I have left, but the next thing that happened, well, after that first thing happened, I was so scared that, you know, I was so scared of walking around the corner and seeing somebody standing there and never being able to relax, never knowing what was going to happen, that I got up and begged whatever was in this house to please not show itself again. Please do not scare me anymore. I kind of tried to make a deal, like, we can both live here in peace. We can both coexist. I won't try to get rid of you. Just please don't scare me again, and I'll keep my end of the bargain. And after I did that, nothing else happened the entire time we lived there until we moved out. And I have my own theory about why that might be. But once we had all the stuff moved out of the house, except for little knickknacks here and there, my buddy was dropping me off one day to gather up the last little bit of stuff and boxes and whatever. And as soon as we opened the front door, and keep in mind, there was no one there, it was all locked up, we heard what sounded like people running on the opposite side of the house, towards the back door area. Well, me and him looked at each other and were like, what the heck? Well, he happened to have a shotgun and some tools in his truck, so he grabbed his shotgun and handed me a crowbar, and we searched the entire house, room by room. We searched the attic, we searched every, I mean, there wasn't that many places to hide, but we searched everywhere, and there was nobody there. And so he had to go to work, so he told me he had to take off, so he left me there, and the plan was I was going to gather up all the stuff, and as soon as I was done, my mother was going to pick me up when she got off work. Well, I was in the bathroom at the time, which was about directly in the middle of the house. So if you're standing in the bathroom looking to the left, you see the back door in the kitchen and the attic door. And to the right, down the hall, was the living room and my bedroom and the front door. Well, I heard at the exact same time what sounded like, on one side of the house, 5 or 6 full-grown men stomping around in boots. And this is an old wooden house. So, I mean, it's the kind of house where you can hear every little footstep, every little creak, you can hear it very clearly. So, and it sounded like a crowd of heavy adults stomping around. It's unmistakable. It's not like I imagined it. It went from being able to hear the sound of a pin drop to chaos in a second. And at the same exact time that started, on the left side of the house, I heard what was the attic door repeatedly open and close, repeatedly slamming open and shut. I don't know how many times, if I had to guess, probably 5 or 6 times while this was going on. And I froze. I didn't know what to do. When something like that happens, your mind can't process it, and it's in a state of denial. But all I could think to do was call my mom, and she could hear the banging and the chaos in the background as I was panicking, like in tears, telling her what was going on. And she told me, "Austin, just hang on, I'm calling the cops," because she assumed it was a break-in, which I, you know, of course, why wouldn't she? And so finally the cops arrived, and I managed to get the courage to go through the hallway, through the living room, to open the door to let them in when they got there. And at that time, everything had finally stopped. But as I'm explaining, we walked through the house to the kitchen where the attic door was repeatedly opening and closing. As I'm explaining to these officers what happened, the attic door behind them started opening. And I just stopped what I was saying and pointed behind them, and they looked, and it opened about 4 inches or so. And it was still pitch black behind the door, so you couldn't see if anybody was there. And then as soon as it opened about 4 inches, it closed again and then latched shut. Well, the officer that was closest to the door tried saying, "Come on out, come on out." And they both pulled their guns. And no one, of course, there was no response. So the officer closest to the door yanked the door open. There's nobody behind it. They both went up the stairs to the attic, and I heard them up there walking around for about a minute or 2 minutes, searching. And of course, they didn't find anybody. And, you know, that what surprised me the most is how little they seemed surprised, like they had experienced something like that before. And what they said was, and I quote, "This kind of stuff just happens in these old houses sometimes." So that's my story. So I really love it to hear this on the show. But either way, thanks, guys, for what you do. Love the show. Bye.
That would be very creepy.
I was mostly wondering what the footsteps were about, like the giant ruckus on the other side of the house. Like, mm-hmm. Why was that happening?
I think it. You just kind of go back to what the officer said, where it's like they don't have any explanation for it other than just, look, these sort of things happen in these old houses sometimes.
Yeah.
And the only explanation is ghosts, because there's nobody to be found. They went and did their job and they looked and made sure it wasn't an intruder or anything. And I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to, you know, narrow down the options of, is it the living? And when it's not, that's kind of where you end up. I bet there's so many stories like that with officers over the years that have encounters like that. And, you know, sometimes you got to make the judgment call, like, okay, is the person that's claiming to have these things, you know, mentally okay? Or are they hearing things? But if you're there investigating and you start hearing it too, then you really know, oh God, there is something going on here.
Yeah.
Would you like to have that job to go and investigate things like that?
Kind of.
As a police officer or as an investigator of the paranormal?
Investigator of the paranormal.
Yeah, something along those lines?
No, but that in general.
That in general?
Yeah, just that.
That specifically?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think it would be very interesting. And, well, maybe we'll start doing a little more of that soon. Where, if you could pick anywhere to go and investigate, like, you don't have to say, like, what specific location, but, like, the type of location, like a graveyard, a hotel, this or that.
Hotel.
A hotel is what would interest you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because if there's several hauntings in there... It's a hotel of ghosts.
It feels like there could be more possibilities.
Yeah.
For what could be lurking around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because there's so many people that come and go out of a building like that, that the possibilities are kind of endless.
Yeah.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I saw this thing the other day. I thought I'd share the story of a house in Pawtucket. And it used to be owned... by these a wealthy tradesman and a carriage maker. The house was built in 1820s, and it's got this old carriage house. It's an old Victorian style building. I'm not sure too much of the history. It's my buddy lives there now. Anyhow, we went over there for the night and we were relaxing, and there's about 4 or 5 people over there just partying. And basically some people passed away in the house a while ago. The carriage house was built in 1810 before the house was made, and it was used as a building, like a workshop. And the house was built in 1825. Now, in the 1900s, maybe like 1920s or 30s, two carpenters were in the building, and they fell down and died, or something happened, but both of them ended up getting killed as a beam fell down and they crushed them. And in the basement, a man hung himself in the workshop in the basement of the house, and there was a housemaid who shot herself after apparently seeing an apparition in the living room in the 1950s. And she had a diary, and she wrote that in there. So, anyhow, we were partying, and there was this, it's hard to explain, there was a very big, there's an archway in the house with this steel gate, and there's two of these big grand stairways, like an old Victorian-style house. And it had to be like 1 in the morning, and we kept hearing footsteps up and down the stairs, and we were like, what the hell? And we're like, we thought one of our buddies was screwing with us. We looked down the stairway. We knew the house was haunted. And all of a sudden, this metal gate that held the stair, like blocked the stairway off because they had dogs. They had a metal gate there. Slam closed against the wall. And it was so, it hit the wall so hard, it cracked the wood and knocked the pictures off the shelf above it. So we were all like kind of freaked out. So we kind of stopped the partying and we went into the other room and we're just kind of relaxing. I kept hearing footsteps down the main hallway. Cabinet doors started opening, and then a couple people went to sleep, and it was about 4 in the morning. My friend Robert and my friend Aiden were in the main living room type thing. It's like a nook kind of thing. It used to be a library, and they're in that room. They're relaxing. When apparently Aiden went out to go take a piss, go to the bathroom, and a guy who was apparently about 6 foot tall, had work boots, was dressed in a plaid shirt with a bow tie and work pants, like jeans. And he had a hammer in his hand, walked down the hallway and walked into one of the rooms. And he goes, who is that? Walks back into the room with my friend Robert, who currently lives in the house and is the owner of the house. He goes, Rob, who is that? Or he calls, we call him Bobby. He goes, Bob, who is that? He goes, what do you mean, who is that? There's no one in here. There's no old guy who lives here with a hammer. And we're doing some thinking, and he's like, some guy did hang himself in the basement. The guy who's still in the house, the worker, carriage worker, hung himself in the basement. And we just pictures of him, and sure enough, it's the same freaking guy. So Aiden claimed he saw a dead guy walking. I had an experience myself, and I'm sorry this story's kind of messed up. It's very hard to remember. This was years ago. And I had a story myself where I went back about a year later. I do remember this story very, very, like, perfectly. I remember walking into the house, going up the main stairway, greeting my friend Bobby, and we walked into the kitchen. And Bobby's mom, who was older at the time, was playing cards, solitaire, on the table. And she finished her game. She stacked a deck of cards. I said hi to her. I brought them some flowers. And just saying hi, just stopping by. And I remember turning around. Bobby's mom walks out of the room. Bobby goes to do the dishes. And the cards went flying across the room. Just as if they were sitting on the table, and it's like someone just grabbed them and just smacked them right off the table, right across the room, all over the floor. I asked Bobby, was that you? And he goes, no. So we all look at each other. We stare there for a minute. And as soon as we leave, the TV in the living room turns on and goes and changes HDMIs by itself. So it changes the port from 1, which is the regular TV, all the way to 4, where there's nothing. And it stayed like that. It was the weirdest thing. And I remember, okay, we shut the TV off. Nothing happened for like 4 hours. I'm about to leave. I put some food in the fridge. I went to close the fridge door, and then I turned around, and Bobby was there. He saw this. The freezer door opened back up by itself, opened right back up, and slammed shut. And it slammed so hard shut that the fridge door opened, and the food that I just put in the fridge flew right out all over the floor, ruined it. It was a salad. Cracked the glass bowl and everything. And then after that, I left and never returned back to that house. So it was the strangest shit I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've heard of stories. I haven't experienced anything since. It's been 2 years. but I'll never forget that house. He later sold the house, and the people who live there now was wondering, called Bobby a couple months ago, did you give anybody the key to the house? Because we keep hearing noises, and he goes, no. So I'm assuming they're experiencing paranormal activity as well. I don't know. I thought I'd share that story. It may not be a good one. I don't remember it super well. But if you're interested, feel free to use it. So thank you.
That would be creepy.
That'd be insane. Just with all that paranormal activity all happening at once.
Mm-hmm. I could relate to the card one, kind of. Because we had that happen at the Crescent Hotel. We had my... my credit card go flying off the bar.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because we were sitting at a table and they went to go take the payment and they had it in the little folder and it was sitting there waiting for the guy at the bar to run it. And it just, it went flying. It was like somebody smacked it and it went flying across the room. And I imagine if you have a deck of cards, that'd be pretty messy. But yeah. It was just the single card that went flying. And yeah, I mean, it's distinct when something like that happens because it's not just like, oh, you know, it the breeze took it or something like yeah. That doesn't happen that, but then the TV doing that and all that would, yeah, I don't blame them for wanting to get out of there.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. That is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller and hear another ghost story. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone. This is Tyler calling back from Waterloo, Ontario. First off, thanks so much for airing my story about Carl on the Lantern episode. Really appreciate it. You know, I appreciated you guys airing that because that story was one of, like, the most creepy paranormal experiences I've ever had. So to have other people hear about it, to have you guys talk about it just meant a lot to me. So thank you. And also thanks, Carol, for saying I'm really nice. That meant a lot to me, too. Like that just meant a lot to me to hear that. So thank you. And basically what I wanted to call in today about, and, sorry if my voice sounds weird. I was actually just biking because I bike all the time, like I said in the last story. And I was biking when I heard that story, on your show because I listen to your show like all the time when I'm biking. And yeah, so I was just biking, so sorry if my voice sounds a little weird now. But basically, I just wanted to tell you guys about something that happened to me, and this is kind of weird, okay? So I started trying to communicate with whatever might be in my house through one of those electronic Ouija board apps, just like what I was using to talk to Carl. Now, this is separate from that thing about Carl. This, where I was trying to communicate with stuff in my house was more recent. That thing with Carl was a while back. But basically, I was trying to see, you know, what's in my house. I was trying to communicate, with whatever might be here. And I wasn't just using the electronic Ouija board. That was just more kind of like on the side. I was trying to communicate, through a lot of different methods with whatever might be in this house. And you know what's really weird? I was able to get some kind of information that there is a little kid in this house, not a real little kid, but like, you know, like a ghost, obviously. And he said his name was Carter and that he died in a car accident. And I guess he had a sister and a dad. I'm not sure if they all died in a car accident. But apparently, he died in a car accident. I'm not sure how recent. I'm not sure if, you know, if it was really recent or a really long time ago. I'm thinking it was a while back because the area I live is like a pretty nice, you know, residential area. It's actually really nice and stuff. And it's, you know, not too much traffic because it's pretty private on the street where I am. So I'm not thinking that they died recent, maybe before this was all developed. You know, maybe they died back then. I'm not too sure, but that's all I was able to get out of them. And I was like starting to try and communicate more with Carter when I was able to figure out who I was talking to. So after I found out his name, I was starting to, you know, talk to him more and try and figure out, you know, what's going on. You know, are you hearing peace? Are you here, like, what are you here for, basically? And after I found out that he was here in peace, because I always ask any sort of spirit that might be in my house, because I just want to know, are you here in peace or what's going on? And as long as they're here in peace, I have no problem with them being here. But sometimes things can go a little weird. Even if they're originally here in peace, things can kind of go a little weird to the point where you start to get creeped out by it. So I was, you know, I was just trying to talk to Carter a lot to see, you know, what was going on. And after a while, I kind of stopped talking to him. Not that I didn't want to talk to him. It's just, you know, you kind of get out of the habit of stuff. And I kind of got out of the habit of trying to communicate with him. And after that, I would notice whenever I would come upstairs from the basement, and primarily from the basement to the main floor, never saw this anywhere else, just from the basement to the main floor, on the stair landing that you can see once you're upstairs, if you look back down the stairs to the basement, on the landing, I saw what looked like, and it was so weird, every time I go upstairs, or almost every time, when I turn out the light, I would see in the dark what looked like a little kid looking at me, but in a really, really mad, like almost like evil way. And I wasn't sure. I'm thinking, okay, who is this? You know, is that you, Carter? Because I would usually pick up, you know, senses that Carter was in the basement the most when I used to talk to him. So maybe that's why it was always on the basement stairs where I would see this kind of like evil looking, I don't know what it was, like a shadow or whatever it was, like some sort of entity. I'd see it on the basement stairs after I stopped talking to Carter as much, right? So, because I was talking, well, trying to communicate with Carter a lot at first, and then I kind of stopped after a while, and that's when I started seeing that thing on the stairs, and I was thinking, well, that's weird. And, you know, I didn't really think too much more of it. But then recently I found out that the people you see in your dreams, the random people that you think they are, they're actually spirits. I found this out. Apparently, experts said that they're spirits around you when you're sleeping. And me personally, I believe that it might be spirits around you, or it could be spirits that are attached to you, but maybe they're not in the room with you, but somehow they're attached to you, and that's how they're able to make it into your dream. But, you know, that's just what I think. It could be either or, whether they're around you or not, but they're somehow attached to you, but they could be around you. And the other day, I had a dream where I saw a little boy and something told me that it was Carter, but it was weird because he was dressed in almost like, I don't know, like 1930s kind of clothes, 40s maybe, something around that time. It just looked like that, and the whole, like, part of the dream where I saw him was black and white. That's what I remember. It was a black and white dream, and I could see that it was in black and white, and I could see a little boy, and I had never seen this boy before in my life. Like, I don't know. I've never seen him. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, and something just told me in my dream that, hey, this is Carter. So maybe he really did die a long time ago, back in the 30s or the 40s, before this was all developed where I am now. Because, you know, back then this would have been farmland, right? So maybe he was in a car crash or whatever happened. Maybe that's when he passed away and he's always been on the land. I have no idea, but, you know, that was just kind of scary the other day, now that I'm seeing him in my dreams. So it makes me think maybe I should start talking to him again and see if he has something to say, or, you know, just to start talking to him again, because maybe he's just trying to tell me to start communicating with him again since I haven't been for so long. But with me, when I get out of the routine of something, it's hard to get back in. So it's not necessarily like I don't want to talk to them. It's just more like I'm not sure what to say because I've already, you know, talked to them a lot. Tried to communicate with them, but yeah, maybe he was just coming to me trying to get me to communicate with him again. I have no clue, but that was kind of scary because I found out, like, around the time of that dream that it's spirits, not random people that you're seeing. So at the same time, I was kind of like, oh my God, what did I just see in my dream, right? Because I've never seen that kid before, and all of a sudden they're in my dream. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe that's Carter, and it's just kind of scary, but at the same time, it's kind of cool how that can happen. And I'm not one to believe that dreams are a sign of anything. You know, I think that the paranormal can definitely come into your dream. I do believe in that they can influence your dreams, but I don't believe that your dreams like tell you something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that they predict anything. At least in my own experience, they don't. So that's why I don't believe that. But I do believe that the paranormal can come into your dream and show themselves to you that way. And I believe that's what happened when I had that dream, which could have been Carter. And that's, yeah, it's kind of cool, actually, how they can do that. But it's kind of scary at the same time because, you know, you don't expect that when you're sleeping. But, yeah, I just thought I'd call in and share that with you guys.
There we go.
So if that little boy that he saw in his dream was Carter, mm-hmm. then who was the little boy at the staircase?
Was it the same kid?
I doubt it.
Think it was different?
Yeah.
What do you think of that concept you talked about where the people that you see in your dreams sometimes are spirits? I mean, I dream about the living more than I do about the dead, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of random people in my dreams. Sometimes I do. But I mean, it's an interesting concept. I've never also, have you ever had a dream in black and white?
I've never had a dream in black and white.
No, I'm always in color.
Yeah.
It's like normal. I'm seeing out of my eyes, yeah. And that's just kind of how it's it functions. But no, thank you for sharing that story with us and being a loyal listener of the show. Our phone number, of course, is 855-853-4802. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.